We turn again to the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, Ezra. We come to the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. I guess I'm back to my old style again. We're taking just a little bitty piece of this book this morning rather than a larger portion. But in God's providence, that's where we are. The end of Ezra chapter 4 and the beginning of Ezra chapter 5. You know as well as I do that the work of the church is an arduous work. And we all fail. I know I have failed in the work of the church, and I failed here in different respects. It is an arduous work. The work of the church is a time-consuming work. And so we can't possibly get all of the things done that are needful, and priorities have to be set. The work of the church does take time in our days and in our weeks and in our months and in our years. There are no quick fixes in the work of the church. Some are looking for very rapid growth and for quick fixes, but there are no real quick fixes. It's the long haul that counts. It's perseverance in the work of the church that really makes the difference. And there must be, coupled with this long haul approach and this perseverance, a vision for the work of the church. I don't know where you are this morning, but I can tell you basically where I am this morning as far as a vision concerning the work of the church here. I really believe that this church can be a significant center of activity in our community and be the evangelical church in the area. I really believe that that's the potential that we hold as a congregation. But we need the continual prodding and the continual direction of God in this task of the work of the church. And that's what our portion of Scripture this morning is really all about. Ezra chapter 4 and verse 24 says to us, "Then the work of the house of God in Jerusalem ceased, and it was stopped until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Well, you remember the story. In 538 B.C., those many years before the coming of Jesus Christ, the people of God were returned from exile and went back to Jerusalem, some 50,000 of them, to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. After the altar was put upon its foundation, there was a short delay in perhaps a year or a year and a half. After that, the temple foundation was laid and there was great rejoicing. The work of God was going forward. Then there came times of persecution. The Samaritans who lived in the area at first attempted to infiltrate the ranks of the Israelites and to come in and subvert the work of the rebuilding of the temple of God. When that didn't work because the people of God said, "Wait a minute, you have no part or place within us." When that subtle infiltration did not work, then began the overt persecution of the people of God. And as a result of this overt persecution, the work of rebuilding the temple stumbled. The project came to a grinding halt, and it was for some 16 to 18 years that the work lay dormant. And that's what verse 24 tells us. "Then the work of the house of God in Jerusalem ceased, and it was stopped until the second year of Darius, king of Persia." It was not until the year 520 B.C. that work again began. The physical work. Interestingly enough, although that physical work on the temple of God was not in progress, the work of God Himself kept on. God was at work. And we see in the first verse of chapter 5 that God indeed was at work. When the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. God was at work. He raised up prophets to stir the hearts of the people of God to action in this work of rebuilding the temple of God. And these prophets are specifically named. Haggai the prophet. Well, we just read part of his words. We're going to look at those words more specifically in just a little bit. And Zechariah the prophet. God stirred their hearts to speak to the people of God. And these prophets, we find, were very faithful in their work. The scripture tells us in verse 1, when the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Edo prophesied, they did their work. They were faithful. How was it that they were faithful? They prophesied. They spoke the word of God. This is important, folks. These men recognized their task. They recognized that God was over them, that they answered to God as their Lord and Master for the work they were commissioned to do. Yes, they were in a situation where there was a civil governor over them. The scriptures are very plain about that fact. The governor of Judah, he was over them. But more importantly, God was over them. They had the task of speaking the word of God. Isn't that what it's all about, really? What is my task? Isn't my task to be here with you all and to proclaim the whole counsel of God? Isn't that what I am to do? And do I not answer to the living God for my work before you and with you? These men were faithful to God in that they were prepared to speak the whole word of God. And Haggai and Zechariah, the scriptures tell us, spoke in the name of God. Look at that first verse again in chapter 5. When the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Edo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, they came to the people in the name of the Lord. They were messengers of the Lord. They were God's representatives among the people of God. In New Testament terms, they were ambassadors for Christ. They were commissioned by Him to speak to the people of God. They were messengers. It's interesting that Jonathan Edwards, in his many sermons, spoke very little about himself in those sermons. I was telling Andy as we were driving in the car out to Quinter and back the other day that I was upbraided at one point early on in my ministry for not making too many personal references, and that I ought to make more personal references to make my messages more human, as it were, more acceptable. It seems in the ministry of Jonathan Edwards, it was just the opposite. He reflected upon himself and his family very little. And it seems that you probably would have never known he was even a married man from what he spoke in the pulpit. But on occasion, he would say to his congregations, remember that I am a messenger of the Lord of hosts.
And that's my job before you.
And that's really the primary task that these prophets felt in their days among God's people. Even in the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, where we see Christ speaking to the churches, he tells John very specifically, speak to the angel of the church at Ephesus, speak to the angel of the church at Sardis, etc., etc. And these angels that he speaks of here are the messengers of the Lord of hosts. And most of the commentators believe that these are the pastors, the respective pastors of the churches of God. The early apostles felt that their primary task was the proclaiming of the Word of God in the name of God. And you remember the story, don't you, of how there was a little controversy in the church, and the apostles said, we need to take care of this controversy because it's incumbent upon us to proclaim the Word of God and to be in prayer. That's our primary task. And so it was that these men, Haggai and Zechariah, spoke to the people of God, the Word of God, in the name of God. And they did speak to the people of God. Verse 1 in chapter 5 tells us this very specifically. When the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem, it was to the people of God that they spoke mightily and directly. This was, in fact, their duty. And it was in this kind of work that God saw fit to stir the hearts of the people to action. To me, that's one of the incredible lessons which comes out of our text. That when these prophets were faithful to speak the Word of God in the name of God to the people of God, then God used them to stir the hearts of the people to action. That's what this second verse tells us in chapter 5. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Josedech arose and began to rebuild the house of God which is in Jerusalem. This work had been dormant for over a decade and a half. The process of building was not moving forward. And God comes and speaks through these prophets the Word of God. And what happens? Then, the Scriptures tell us, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, they get busy. They get busy. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? And I want you to see something else in this second verse, the latter portion of it. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. This was not a one-shot affair. This was not just one stirring message on leadership and potential and all of this sort of thing. This was an ongoing ministry. This was an ongoing proclamation of the Word of God. This was not sporadic work. But it was continuous work. That's the implication of the text. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them in this work. There are some implications here, it seems to me. We wonder very often about our own growth as a church. And if you're not a member of this particular congregation, you may wonder about the growth in another congregation. But the lesson still applies. It is the consistent teaching of the Word of God which is absolutely essential. And it is not only the consistent teaching of the Word of God from this pulpit which is essential, but it is the consistent teaching of the Word of God to every age group within the congregation which is essential. And we need to take that very, very seriously. Each one of us. Some of you all are teachers in Sabbath school. Some of you do other things within the context of the church. It is consistency which is very, very important. I must prepare to come before you week by week. You wouldn't be very happy with me, would you, if I didn't prepare? I remember being in situations where the minister would say, you don't need to prepare. Just go up there and start talking and the Holy Spirit will fill your mouth. With mud, probably. It doesn't always work that way. Preparation is necessary. And I can't come up here and stand before you without doing a little bit of preparation, more than a little bit of preparation. And you can't step before a group of children or young people without preparation either. It is consistency in the work of the church which really brings about fruit and results. And there must be consistency in attendance too. Week by week, we must be prepared to sit under the Word of God. This is one of the things that comes out of our text this morning. Week by week, we must be prepared to listen to the Word of God. Now, I want us to take a look again at what Haggai said to the people of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the prophet Haggai. It's like this in your Bible. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. Right before Malachi comes Zechariah, and right before Zechariah comes Haggai, the prophet. I want you to see what this man spoke to the people of God. In the second year, Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes." This is the word of God. It is a prophetic teaching spoken by Haggai the prophet to the people of Israel about the rebuilding of the temple, and it applies to you and to me today in the work of the church. It's not time now to be about the business of building up the church. I've got other things that are more important to do. It's not time now, we say. Isn't it always the right time to be about the business of advancing the kingdom of God? Is our priority too much on our own estates, our own houses? Is this not what Haggai the prophet is laying before us? Let me give you a little illustration by using the analogy of a football team. Football season is going to be upon us soon, isn't it? There are some who are training already, getting ready for the season to start. And in our community, both at the college and at the high school, there are going to be 65 or 75 young men working together with a staff of coaches, a head coach, an assistant coach, a line coach, a backfield coach, a defensive coach. Why, we wouldn't think of fielding a football team without such a staff. But we think about fielding the work of the church with very little staff and very little support, when there is eternal significance to the work which we are about. Is it time for us to launch forward vigorously in the work of the building of the church of Jesus Christ? Sure it is, folks. It's time. Let's go on in Haggai here. Verse 7 in chapter 1. Thus says the Lord of hosts. You see, Haggai is speaking the word of God in the name of God to the people of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little when you bring it home. I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on all the labor of your hands. Think about this. We may ask the question, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to say this. Am I supposed to say drought or drought? I've been teased a little bit on either count. At any rate, last year, there wasn't such a good wheat harvest. Why? I blow it away, says the Lord. I do that. Why? Well, in the context of Israel, because my house lays desolate. You see, this is what Haggai says to the people of God. Consider your ways, he says. Let's go on in Haggai. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Do you see what was happening here? God sent the prophets to speak to the people. He spoke the word of God in the name of God to the people of God. And then God, through this means, stirred up the people of God to the work to which he had called them. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord and the words of Haggai the prophet. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you. Yes, it's an arduous work, the work of the church. Yes, it's a time-consuming work. But what does God say? I am with you. I am with you. What a blessing that is. I know I couldn't go on in this work if it were not for the promise of God, I am with you. And I'm sure there are times when you have yourselves said, it's hard to go on. But God comes back and he says, I am with you. Thank God that's the case. Verse 14 in chapter 1 of Haggai. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the sons of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Here we have a divine commentary. A divine commentary on that verse in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 2 as to what took place. Ezra 5:2 says, Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak arose and began to rebuild. And we see a little bit of the background from the prophet Haggai, how he spoke to the people. And how the Spirit of the Lord, through the instrumentality of the prophets stirred the people of God, and they went forward with the work of the church. Here are some very practical things for us, I really believe. Given the nature of the prophetic teaching of Scripture, as I have already said, and I repeat it, I am under obligation to God to present to you the whole counsel of God. And I answer to God for that. Is that not the case? And I am to do that in the name of God. You know, that's more and more coming home to me in terms of what Edwards really sensed in his own ministry. I am a messenger of the Lord of hosts. It's an awesome task. That's why we are together. And the whole Word of God in the name of God is to be presented to you, the people of God. And I guess the question that I have at this point is this. Are you prepared to hear the whole counsel of God? You know, sometimes when we come together, it's just certain portions of Scripture we would rather hear than others. I understand that. But that's not our task. Another question I have is this. Is this congregation of the Church of Jesus Christ to be a stalwart congregation in this geographical area? I believe the answer is yes. A significant foundation has been laid. I really believe this is the case in the last couple of years. It's interesting the analogy which is present. In a couple of years, the foundation of the temple was relaid in Jerusalem. Here, we have been laboring at another kind of foundation that involves the gospel of Jesus Christ and the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if the church is to go forward here, on one side, I must be faithful in the prophetic teaching of the Word of God. I must be. And I ask for your prayers in that regard. Pray for me. I am thankful for the testimony of a young lady that has often come to our evening classes. You know what she said about our congregation here? She said to other people, if you want a church where the Word of God is proclaimed and taught, go over there to the Reformed Presbyterian Church. I thank God for that. It must continue. And on the other side, dear friends in Christ, if the rebuilding and the movement forward is to be as God desires it to be, I must not only be faithful in presenting the whole counsel of God, you must be prepared to hear the whole counsel of God. And it is this combination which God brings together to stir the hearts of His people, to move us forward. May God, in His grace and mercy, be willing to do it in our midst. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, grant that we may continue in the preaching of the whole Word of God in the name of God to the people of God. And may we as a people, myself included, be a people of open hearts and receptive ears to Your Word. And may this be used of You to stir us, O our God, in the building of Your church. Hear us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.